So we've been going through the book of John, and we come to sort of the last section of the book. And if you've been here with us for a little while, the last few chapters of the Gospel of John has to do with Jesus' last speech, dialogue with his disciples. He is trying to prepare the disciples for life after the resurrection and the cross. And so one of the things that he talks most about is the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit who is now going to help them, strengthen them, encourage them, empower them, lead them. And so Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to the disciples. But I think it's something like this. It's kind of, I don't know how many of you have been on a blind date, but you know, your friend might tell you all these great things about this person that he wants you to meet. But unless you actually meet him, you don't really understand or you don't know how you're going to fit. And so I feel like it's kind of like that, because Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit again and again and again. There's a lot of repetition in chapters 14, 15, and 16. And it's because for these disciples, they really don't have any concept of who the Holy Spirit is. Now, for us, we look back and read these passages, and we kind of understand how the Holy Spirit works. We have the rest of the New Testament to understand who the Holy Spirit is. But for these disciples, like, they have like really no clear concept of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they have passages in the Old Testament, but what Jesus here is talking about is more distinct and clear. And so when Jesus is talking about he's going to help you and lead you and empower you, I mean, these disciples don't have like clear understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so what we're going to read today might feel a bit repetitive if you were here last Sunday, but I thought it's worth reading it again and talking about the Holy Spirit again, because he's such an important part of our Christian life. And so let me go ahead and read from verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6, and we'll read to verse 15. Verse 6, chapter 15. "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is God's word. We'll stop there. Just a few comments before we kind of dive into the passage. One, Jesus here says, it's for the disciples' advantage that he goes away and the Holy Spirit comes. I mean, that's a significant statement, don't you think? I mean, think about this. Disciples have seen Jesus raise the dead. They've seen Jesus cure a blind person, feeding multitude of people. But Jesus here says, it's better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit would come. And what that means, I think, is that there, in some sense, what Holy Spirit does and what he provides is more significant, if we could say, than what Jesus did for the disciples. Like, the Holy Spirit has his power and wisdom, things that he can provide to the disciples that will be so helpful for them in their life, in their journey. The second thing that I want to mention here is verse 14. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Let me read that one more time. "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I think here what we have is we have the Holy Spirit's, I think, the main objective of the Holy Spirit, and that is to glorify Jesus and make all of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished, taking that and pressing that upon our hearts, Right? And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, he will glorify me and take what is mine and declare it to you. And obviously, he's talking to the disciples. But here, I think what we can take away is the Holy Spirit's job is taking Jesus, all who he is and all that he has done, and he declares that to us. He presses that truth upon our hearts so that it's not just knowledge that we accumulate, but that it stirs our hearts. It's like the passage when after Jesus rose from the dead, he's walking with two disciples and he speaks to them. And after he disappears, the disciples, they say, our hearts were burning within us. What is that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit pressing truth, Jesus' truth, into their hearts. Again, in Acts, you know, in chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit comes and Peter preaches the gospel, it says people were cut to the heart. What is that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit moving and taking the truth of the gospel and pressing that truth upon our hearts. That's what Holy Spirit does. Like, he glorifies Jesus and he makes him known to all of us, especially using scripture. And so that's sort of what I want to talk about. So with that in mind, here are my 2 points. One, let's talk about Holy Spirit's relationship with the disciples and also us, and the Holy Spirit's relationship to the world. The Holy Spirit's relationship to us, and then Holy Spirit's relationship to the world. So first, the Holy Spirit's relationship to the disciples. John 16:7, if you have your Bibles or devices with you, let's read that one more time. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Okay, we'll pause there. Now, if you were here last Sunday, Pastor Jonathan spoke on this. And you might be thinking, oh, I'm going to talk about this again. And the answer is yes. Partly because in chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus mentions this word or talks about the Holy Spirit and says that he's our helper 4 times. Meaning Jesus really wants us to get this. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Again, chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 7. Again, Jesus repeats this phrase of the Holy Spirit being our helper. So what is that? And I know some of you who were here last Sunday heard this, but I think it's worth repeating. It's interesting how different translations translates this word differently. So some of your translation might have he's our comforter, others you might have he's our counselor, others has it's our advocate, and ESV here has he's our helper. The Greek word is parakaletos. Okay, and it's what's helpful was it comes from 2 Greek words. Right, one para means standing aside next to. And then kaleo means to call, to argue. So I think if you kind of put that together, it means one who is called alongside. Like someone who's called alongside of us. Literally, that's what it means. So it's someone, if you kind of think about it, it's someone who is called alongside you to help you, to assist you, to defend you, to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you. That's what it means. You could think of it as your best, most trusted, loyal friend who will stick by you no matter what. That's what it means, that word, that's what it means. And it has both a sense of gentleness because he's coming next to us, but it also has a sense of strength because he comes to defend us and speak in behalf of us. So the question then is, how does the Holy Spirit help us? In verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And I think this is how the Holy Spirit operates, one of the main ways. He helps us by reminding us of God's truth. Like, he helps us by reminding us of God's truth. Again, as I said, Holy Spirit presses into our hearts the truth of the gospel. Well, how does that get worked out? Let me just mention 2 things. One, I don't know about you, but oftentimes, even as I, you know, as a pastor, someone who's, I've been a Christian for a long time, but even now, when I sin, when I make a mistake, when I fail, it never fails. There's a voice of accusation that comes. like internal voice. Things like, would say things like, you call yourself a pastor? You're a leader? You've been a Christian for like decades. How can you still struggle with this? Right? I mean, accusation, it comes. And sometimes it's so severe that like I struggle with depression, like getting depressed or discouraged. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, you could talk to my wife and my kids if you want to validate. But I mean, like, sometimes it's like, what's wrong with me? And that's how our enemy operates. When we sin, when you fail in some capacity, he comes along and he says, how can you call yourself a Christian and still struggle with this? Or sometimes when things don't go the way that you want them to go, there's hardship that comes, some kind of failure that comes. What happens? Well, again, your internal voice says, you know, God's not really good. I mean, he doesn't really care for you. You believe that God's sovereign, but he's not really sovereign over your life. You need to kind of figure it out on your own. I mean, things like that happens. Well, what the Holy Spirit does is he takes the gospel, he takes Christ, he takes the truth of what Jesus says and presses that upon our hearts. Well, how does he do that? And let me give you an example. I thought this was helpful, and I shared this at Tyson's last Sunday, but Jackie Robinson was the first black Major League Baseball player in 1940s. And the story goes that every city he went to, he faced racism, mockery. And one time he went to different accounts have different, they say it differently, but some people say it was in Cincinnati or I think in Boston. But in one place, he went to play, this is his rookie year or first or second year, and he's about to play. The mockery and the ridicule got so severe, like they couldn't play. They couldn't play ball. They just and Jackie Robinson just sort of stood there in midst of all these accusations that were coming at him, people yelling at him. And if you can kind of imagine, 1940s, right? And so he just stood there until his teammate, a person named Pee Wee Reese came, and he was the captain of that team. He came over, and he just stood next to him for a while. Some accounts have him having his arms around Jackie Robinson, and actually they have a statue of two of them in Cincinnati. It's a statue of Pee Wee Reese having his arms around Jackie Robinson. And in his, according to Jackie Robinson's biography by Arnold Rampersad, this is what Jackie Robinson said about that account. He said, Pee Wee kind of sensed the sort of helplessness, dead feeling in me, and came over and stood beside me for a while. He didn't say a word, but he looked over at the people who were yelling at me and just stared back. He was standing by me. I could tell you that, and I will never forget it. I think that's a good picture of what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he stands by us to let us know who we are in Christ. That's his main job for us. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the Holy Spirit is our witness. In midst of accusations, he comes along and he says, along with our own spirit, he says, he cries out, Abba, Father. He reminds us, the Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are in Christ, that we are the sons of God and daughters of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and helps us and reminds us with the truth of the gospel and who we are, that we don't have a spirit of slavery, but we have a spirit of adoption. And we're not doomed because we are people of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in your life. He presses that truth upon your soul. And that's why I think it's important for us to daily read scripture and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us through scripture so that we daily are reminded of who we are before God. Because unless we have that, there are voices of accusation that will come. That will drag you down and that will speak lies into your life. We need the Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts the gospel truth. The second thing that he does, and you know, I think that because he's the Spirit of truth, he after reminding us of our identity, I mean, he does convict us and encourage us to live a life of obedience, right? And if there's, if we're in error, you know, for if there's sin, the Holy Spirit does nudge us. Sometimes he convicts us. Sometimes it's a heavy conviction, something that we need. Sometimes it's a gentle nudge. Kind of say, you know, you should avoid this. I still remember a while back, I was this lady came and she said, she was talking about one of the sermons that she heard. And she said, you know, when you were talking about this passage, it really convicted me. And then she said, I wish I would have taken that conviction and really obeyed what I knew that God wanted me to do. But she went on to say, but, you know, I kind of ignored that sort of conviction and sort of went along with sort of what I wanted to do. And she was just kind of talking about how that just led her to a wrong path. Sometimes that happens. Holy Spirit convicts us, and we need to respond, right? Especially when you're under the preaching of God's word, or you're reading scripture for yourself, or you're discussing scripture in small group. When Holy Spirit comes and speaks to us, it's important for us to respond with that prompting, because Holy Spirit's trying to nudge us. And it could even be in a small, like small way. We have our small group, we talked about the Holy Spirit this past Friday, and one lady shared about how, you know, when she comes back from work, she comes home and she's you know, she's there and she just wants to relax, right? And her husband's there and they're trying to figure things out, but they had promised to do certain things for each other. And she says, oh, I don't want to do it. And then she says, the Holy Spirit nudges her heart. She goes, oh no, you need to be nice to him. Like, oh, you need to help him with the dishes. And so she goes, like, she talked about how she needs the Holy Spirit to do the dishes. And I think that's great, because it's just little things where you don't want to love other people. You want to be selfish. You want to camp here and just kind of ignore little prompting of the Holy Spirit. But when we're open to those things, that's how you more and more sense and enjoy the presence of God. So whether it's this heavy sort of conviction that you feel, or sort of gentle nudge that you sense, it's important for us to, like, be open and take that step as God's Spirit leads us. So just kind of summarizing my first point, the Holy Spirit is here. He uses God's truth to impress upon our hearts who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for you. And we need to have that daily. And then he leads us so that we can live in obedience, in loving other people, serving people, because in our own self, like flesh, that's like, it's impossible. We need God's Spirit to lead us in that way. All right, a second point, and then we'll wrap up here. Second point, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit's relationship to the world. And so that comes from verse 8. Verse 8, it says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because of the ruler of this world is judged. What's important here, I think, is for us to remember that the Holy Spirit continues to do what Jesus did in the Gospels. Like, Holy Spirit, like, continues to do the work of Jesus. And so I think what's helpful as we read this passage is think about what Jesus did in light of these three things that Jesus mentions here. So first, Jesus revealed the sins of unbelief, right? So in John chapter 3, 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So the Holy Spirit continues this work of convicting people of unbelief. And that's what Jesus said here. Jesus said, God sent his Son so that people might believe in him, so that they might have eternal life. But they don't believe. They didn't believe. The Holy Spirit will continue that work in this world, convicting people of their unbelief of Jesus Christ. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does is he convicts people of the world of righteousness. And if you know the Gospels, Jesus consistently, constantly spoke to religious leaders. And he talked about how their righteousness was false righteousness. It was just pretense. And the Holy Spirit will come, and that's what he will do. As he goes forth into this world, he will talk, he will convict people about their false righteousness. Like self-righteousness, that's not right. Only one righteousness that's right and that's pure and that we need to have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit will go and convict people of that. The last thing Jesus says here is the Holy Spirit will convict people of judgment. And in John chapter 12, he says, now is the judgment of the world. Jesus says, now will the ruler of this world be cast out. So basically, Jesus is saying, because of the cross, judgment has come. Like the world is condemned. You need to believe if you're going to receive what God has for you. So what Jesus is saying is the Holy Spirit will continue to do the work of Christ. And we see a clear picture of that in Acts. When the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, Peter stands up and he begins to preach the gospel. And people are cut to the heart and they say, what shall we do? Tell us what to do. And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be saved from this wicked generation. And that's exactly what happens in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit comes. Now here's my question, and this is an important question. Why does Jesus here, why does he talk about being our helper and then Holy Spirit's relationship with the world? Like Jesus has just talked about, I'm going to send you an helper, right? He's going to help you. And then he talks about when the Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world. Why does he do that? I think here's a connection, and this is really important. You know, when we see the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit does convict people of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Basically, Holy Spirit through the early disciples and the church begins to spread the gospel. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at here. The Holy Spirit's work will be about evangelism, about missions. And so for us, this is what it means. If we claim to be filled with God's Spirit, or one sign of us being filled with God's Spirit or being led by the God's Spirit is that we are part of God's mission. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to carry out what Jesus had accomplished for the world. And that's why the Holy Spirit came. He is a Spirit that's on mission, on evangelism. And so one of the reasons I think that many of us lack the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that we really don't sense the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us, is because perhaps we're not aligned to what God's really about. Like God's mission, God's Spirit is about missions and bringing Jesus, pressing Jesus, not to just into your lives, but into the ends of the earth. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's his main objective. He wants to glorify Jesus here in your life, in my life, here in DMV, but to the ends of the earth. That's why the Holy Spirit came. So if we're not on that mission, we are missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit comfort us? Absolutely. Does it remind us of how much God loves us? Yes. But Holy Spirit also presses us to move. I mean, that's the whole book of Acts. It's that the Holy Spirit comes and begins to use the disciples, these weak people. Like Peter stands up before the Pentecost, before the resurrection. He's a wimpy, afraid disciple. After the Holy Spirit comes, he's empowered and he speaks, and thousands of people come to Christ. What's the difference? It's the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And so sometimes I think we miss out because, you know, we miss out on the power of the Holy Spirit because we're sort of content in our life and we want to kind of receive the blessings. But if we can step out in faith, Holy Spirit will move through you. And that's, again, that's just throughout the book of Acts. Whenever the Holy Spirit came, people spoke in boldness. I mean, it's in Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 9. He uses Peter. He uses the disciples. He uses Paul. I mean, whenever the Holy Spirit, every time Holy Spirit comes, they speak with boldness. And so I think that's a good way for us to kind of end just thinking about the Holy Spirit. He comes to press Jesus into our own life, and that's a good thing. That's the good news. And we need that so much daily because the Holy Spirit reminds us. He's a witness. He says, Steve, you're a child of God. He uses gospel truth to do that. And we need that daily. Praise God with the Holy Spirit that reminds us. But Holy Spirit also moves through us so that we can proclaim the gospel so that Jesus will be exalted and glorified, not just in my life and not just here in this church, but that he will be glorified to the ends of the earth. That's why Holy Spirit came. And that's what he's about. And we want to be part of that here in the DMV and beyond. All right, let's pray and we'll close.